Today's share is Masechet Kedushin, Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud Rava. In our previous year, we had learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that if somebody was Mekadosh a woman with Tamarim, and he said, Bezu, Ubezu, Bezu, we learned, depending on how he articulated himself, we may be able to combine all the tamarim, or we may have to look at each tamar separately. That was the ratio was speaking about a case where we have to look at each tamar separately. And the sefer, the Gemara explained, was speaking about a case where we can combine the tamarim. But then the Mishnah concluded with a halacha that if she ate up the tamarim, that we can't combined, we can't look at it. And the Gemara wasn't quite certain how to understand what is the case that the Mishnah is referring to. And Rav Asi said it's referring to a situation where when he was Mekadosh her, he meant all of the Tamarim. But if she ate up a Tamar, what she ate now becomes a Milva, something she owes him. And therefore, you can't be Mekadosh, as we learned already at the beginning of the Masechta. HaMekadosh b'milva, somebody's Mekadosh with a milva, the halacha is Eina Mekadoshes, it's not considered a valid form of a Kedushin. And that's why if that tamar was already consumed, that can't be part of the Kedushin. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Lo Shanu, in this halacha that we said, if the tamarim were eaten up, they can't combine. Those tamarim that were already eaten up cannot combine to the effect kedushin. El the amaloi only in a case where he said bezu u bezu, where he said askachli bezu, and she ate the tamara, and then he gave her another tamara, and he said bezu, and so he could continue. So as she's eating up the tamara, he gave it to her only as a pikadin. Aval amalo, he said bezu u bezu. But if the way he expressed himself, says Rava, but by saying Be'elu, he said all of these tamarim. Not that he gave her a tamar at a time, and gave her a tamar up, and she ate it. And now, as we said a few moments ago, what that means is that it becomes a situation of a milva, but he gave her a whole pile of tamarim, and then he says to her, that you should become Aval Amalai, and with that whole pile of tamarim he gives her, he says, Be'elu, you should become Mekadoshes with this group, with this bunch of tamarim. Then the halacha is afilo eichlus, even if she eats part of the tamarim, as she receives them, the halacha is not Mekadoshes, she will be Mekadoshes. Because Tika Achla, what he gave her, since he gave her this entire group of tamarim together, and only after giving her the entire group of tamarim did he make the statement of Eskachli Be'elu. So that means the Kedushin is already essentially effective as soon as he gave her the tamarim. Now, if she chooses to eat any of those tamarim, all of those tamarim, what now happens is that she's eating tamarim that belong to her. And since she's eating tamarim that belong to her, that doesn't have anything to do, that doesn't in any way affect the Kedushin. And the Tosfos Rit says, by saying bezu or bezu, he divides each one of the statements. And therefore, what he's saying is, each tomorrow, he's saying that I'm wanting to become Kedushin with all tomorrow. And since he separated each one, so that means each one is looked at individually. And the one that she ate becomes a pikadon. But in a situation where he didn't say it that way, when he said it be'elu, what he meant was that he's giving to her all of the tamarim together. He's giving to her all of the tamarim together. If she now chooses to eat them, what she's eating is she's eating her own tamarim, and therefore it's valid condition. Tanik of Asik Rava says the Gemara, there's a brisa that supports what Rava just taught us. If somebody said to a woman, it's actually ba'alon barim ba'egos, alon is a type of a meat. Barimon is a pomegranate, ba'egos is a walnut. A shavu is sketchly ba'elu. Im yesh b'kulon shavu prutas. If they're all together combined, we have a shavu pruta here. That lock is mekudeshes. Memlav ain't mekudeshes. Continues the brisa. If he said to her b'zu u'b'zu u'b'zu, im yesh b'kulon shavu pruta. If combining them, we have a shavu pruta kedushes. Memlav ain't mekudeshes. Says the brisa. If he said b'zu, not l'sav achosa, the woman went and took that fruit or whatever and ate it, and then he said bazu v'natosav achosav, and then bazu v'ay bazu, and she eats everything that she receives as she receives it, then the halacha is eating that. Because even though he combined all of them into one statement, he meant he's going to be mekadesh with her with all of them together. Still, the fact is that he gave each one of them to her individually. And by the fact that he gave her each one individually, and she consumed each one as she received them individually, what happens here is that it separates them, and what she ate, she owes him for having eaten it, but it's a bekadim, and it's a bekadesh from Milva, and that's why Enim Kodeshes. Unless there was one on its own that has a Shava Pruta, so we'll have a kedusha with that particular fruit. Says the Gemara, "Hi, ba'alam barim beges hechidami." What exactly is the? How do we exactly understand the first case? Ilam damelo oiba olon oibarim and oibeges. He meant with any of these different items, you should become mekudeshes. So ask the Gemara. The Brisa says, "Yesh b'kulin shavapruta mekudeshes." Says if they all could combine to a shavapruta, she would be. She will be mekudeshes. But ask the Gemara, "Oikamar." She said each one separately. Says the Gemara, the way he said it was ba'alan barim ba'egus, that all of them, I'm combining all of them. So ask the Gemara, if that's what he meant to say, so then hainu, isn't that identical to the second case where he said bazoo, bazoo, bazoo? So what is the difference between the first case and the second case? And ask the Gemara, Elalav, says the Gemara, Elalav, the Omer Le'Be'elu. The difference is that the first case he said Bazu Bazu, and the second case he said Be'elu. And that's what differentiates the two cases. But ask the Gemara, Midikani Sefer. We learned in the Sefer, Omer Le'Skachlu Be'elu, isn't that a proof that the reish is not be'elu b'skinan? Says the Gemara, no. The way to understand the braisa is that the sefer is explaining the reisha. Perusha k'mefarish. The sefer is explaining the reisha. And if he said, "Iskachlu be'alav b'reim be'egus," ketzad, what is that case where the kedushin will be effective? K'goyin amlo iskachlu be'elu. And now we have again the distinction that Rava began our shiur with. If there's a difference if you said bazoo, bazoo, or if you said be'elu. The Tani Sefer continues the Gemara. Now, how do we clearly see that this Braisa supports what Rava taught us? The Tani Sefer, because we learned in the Sefer that bazoo, not l'sava achlasa, in the case where he said bazoo, bazoo, if she went and took it, im yesh ba'achsman shavapruta, if there's a shavapruta in one of them, mekudeshes. But a laugh, if there is no shavapruta in any one individual item, it would not be mekudeshes. Reisha, the Braisa, when he said be'elu loy kamaflig, the Braisa does not make this type of distinction ben echelas l'menachas, whether she ate each one or left them all together. Shma minah. So from here we see, as Rava taught us, that when he says a wording of be'elu, shmamino kol hecha l'man da'omala be'elu, whenever he used the word be'elu, kikal akhla, what he meant to give her is that entire bunch. And if she ends up eating it, then ka'akhla manafsha ka'akhla, he gave it to her, or all of them were given to her as a kedushin, whether she ate them or not.
and therefore the kedushin is a valid kedushin. If she ate them, she ate something that belongs to her. So we learned on Daf Memvov, Rav Ami and Rav and Shmuel argue when the Mishnah said, "Ha'isa oichlus v'shayna v'shayna en mekudeshes." As we said at the beginning of our shiur today, Rav and Shmuel explain that that last halacha that was cited in our Mishnah on Daf Memvov is going back to the Reisha of Hiskachli b'tamarzu, Hiskachli b'zu. He meant to be mekadeshar with each tamara individually, and the halacha therefore is that if there is no tamara that is worth a shavapruta, she will not be mekadeshes. And then the Mishnah continues to teach us that this din was only said when the tamarim were left there. But if she continues, the Mishnah teaches us, but even if she ate the first tamara and she left it, she is not going to be mekadeshes, even though she ate the tamarim, maybe one of the original tamarim that she got was shavapruta, because as we said, that's considered a case of mekadesh b'milva, and mekadesh b'milva and mekadeshes. Rav Ami, as we said at the beginning of today's shir, said that the last halacha of our Mishnah is referring to the seif of the Mishnah, where he said to her, he's being mekadesha with all of these tamarim together. And the Mishnah says that if she ate the tamarim before he gave her all of the tamarim, before he completed the act of kedushin, so what she ate is a milva, and therefore, if there is no pruta left, then what he's giving her, she's not mekadeshes. So says the Gemara, ha-nicha, this braisa that we just explained, which really, as we've been saying, is teaching us what Rava taught us, says the Gemara, ha-nicha l'manda ma-seifakai, that the braisa, that the Mishnah, the last end of the Mishnah was going on the Sefer, umay she'ebach shem pruta, at she'ebach ronish shava pruta, only in a case where the last tamara that she hasn't obviously eaten has a shava pruta, then it's going to be, she's mekudeshes. Hachinami, that's the way we're going to explain the braisa. If she was given a number of fruits and she eats them up, she won't be mekudeshes, at she'ebach ronish shava pruta. That's the Gemara, El Rav Shmuel Damer Tavaya Reisha Koi. That's going about the Reisha. And he meant to be Mekadoshar one tomorrow alone. Because he separated each one of these tomorrow in his statement to her. And the Bryce, the Mishnah, is teaching us that if she ate that tomorrow, even though it was a Shavapruta, but she ate it before he was able to finish his obligation. So how will we understand the braisa? The braisa doesn't speak about the case where he meant to be mekadesha with each tamar individually. Says the Gemara, Hamani, how will we understand this braisa? We're going to understand this braisa like Rebbe. Dam loishna kazayis v'loish, kazayis v'loishna kazayis v'kazayis prot tahavam. We know that a carbon can become possible when the kohen has the wrong machshava. But there are two different types of wrong machshava. One is chutz l'mekaymai, and one is chutz l'zmanai. Chutz l'mekaymai means that the kohen who brought the carbon had intention to eat the carbon outside the place where it may be eaten. That carbon is possible, but it's not pigle. And if somebody would eat from that carbon, there is no chiv karis. If somebody, however, had a machshava of chutz l'zmanoi, to eat the carbon past the time the Torah prescribes we're allowed to eat it, that carbon becomes pigle, and somebody who eats that carbon is chayiv karis. There's a machloikis tanoim im esach de zvachim daf chof tes on a base. What happened if somebody had both of those machshavas? How does the halacha look at that carbon? Somebody had a machshava to eat it chutzlum koyme v'chutzlum zmanoi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we look which machshava came first. If the machshava's chutzlum zmanoi came first, it's pigel and chiv karis. If the machshava's chutzlum koyme came first, it's pasul vein by karis. The chacham hold, it doesn't make a difference which one came first or which one came second. Since there was a combination of both of these machshavas, so the carbon is subject to both of those machshavas, and since the carbon is subject to both of those machshavas, the halacha is that the carbon is not pigel, because it has another disqualification of chutz l'mkaymai. The Gemara over there on Daf Lamed asks, according to Yehuda, that looks at each machshava independently, what is the case? Is it where he said Hareini Shoich Amnas Lach Kazayis Lamacher Kazayis Bechutz, where he did not say a vav in between, or even where he said Kazayis Lamacher Kazayis Bechutz, Rebbe still will hold, even though he had that vav connecting those two machshavas, they're still going to be considered separate machshavas. Says the Gemara that even in a case that he did not mean to combine the machshavas, he kept each machshava separately. The halacha is that each machshava is kept separate. So says the Gemara, our brisa that says it doesn't make a difference if you said kazayis, kazayis, or you said kazayis or kazayis. In both cases, we look at every fruit separately, represents the opinion of Rebbe. And just like Rebbe, as we said, it doesn't make a difference in that case that we mentioned in Masechta Zvachim, if you said kazayis, kazayis, or you said kazayis or kazayis, the same thing will Rebbe say in our Gemara, that the halacha will not differentiate whether he said bezu, bezu, or he said bezu, ubezu. In both of these cases, his intention is that each fruit should be kept separately. And therefore, in both of those cases, unless there's going to be a fruit that's a shava pruta, there will not be a kedushin. So even though the b'raisa says hoisoi chelas, what the b'raisa means is, even if the fruits are here, it doesn't make a difference. As long as there is no fruit that has a shava pruta, as long as there is no fruit that has a shava pruta, it wouldn't be a valid kedushin. So now we have a very fundamental machloikus in that b'raisa. The b'raisa say that if he says kachli be'elu, or he said bezu bezu, he meant to combine them. And therefore, if they have a shava pruta together, it will be a good kedushin. The Sefer is teaching us that only in the case where there's one fruit that has a shava pruta will she be mekadeshes, otherwise not. Amarav teaches us the Gemara HaMekadesh B'Milva. Somebody is mekadesh a woman, he had lent this woman money, and she has the money. The way the Rishonim explained this Gemara is certainly if the woman didn't have the money, the halacha will be that she's not mekudeshes. You have to give her something. But even if the woman has the money that he had lent her, but it was a loan, and now he says, I'll forgive that obligation, the halacha is eina mekudeshes. Because says the Gemara, why? Milva lo tzar nitnu. And as Rashi explains, even though she didn't actually spend the money yet, since the whole purpose of somebody borrowing money is to be able to use that money to spend it, otherwise why would they have borrowed the money? Therefore, it's considered already as if she doesn't have it, even if she has it. So Ritva asks, if our Gemara is now teaching us that for Kedushin to be considered a valid Kedushin, the money that you're giving for the Kedushin, the woman actually has to have. And if she doesn't actually have it, I won't have a good Kedushin. So what's the halacha? If somebody gives a woman money, the shame Kedushin, harayat mekadeshesli, he gives her money to effect the Kedushin. But what he says is that the Kedushin should only be effective in 30 days from now. And by the time day 30 comes, she no longer has the money. How would the halacha look at that situation? So certainly, he says, the halacha would look at that situation as a good kedushin. But why would the halacha view this as a good kedushin? Why wouldn't we say that the fact that he doesn't, that she doesn't have the money, and we're learning now, if you don't have the money, the kedushin is not a good kedushin. So says the Ritva, there's a fundamental difference between that case and the case of our Gemara. In the case of our Gemara, he gave it to her as a loan. That's what had the money and why the money was given to her. Since the money was given to her as a loan, so the Gemara is teaching us, and now all he wants to do is say, I forgive the loan. And we have the concept that the Gemara just said, that I'm a Kaddish, the Milvaloi Tzadnetnu. That's why it's not a good Kedushin. However, when the money was given to her originally for the purpose of Kedushin, there, the fact that she does or doesn't still have the money is immaterial. So ask the Gemara, name it to Ketanoi, maybe this question, if Hamakadosh ben Milva Mekudeshes or not, the Gemara wants to suggest, is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. Because the Brisa says, Hamakadosh ben Milva ein Mekudeshes, V'yeshayim Mekudeshes, says the Gemara, Maila b'hokamifki. So the Gemara wants to say, what is the basis of this Machlokes? The mass of a Milva, it's ought not know. And therefore the money is not considered as if she has the money. And that's why we don't have a valid act of Kedushin. And that's why it's considered a valid Kedushin. So all the Rishonim asked the question, how could somebody suggest Milva Lav Loitzodnitna? As we understand, why would a person borrow money? The only reason a person would borrow money is to be able to spend it. So what does the Gemara mean when it says Milva Lav Loitzodnitna? So Rashi's explanation is that of course milva loitzadnitnu, but since when somebody lends somebody money, they lend it not that they could be able to do it with it whatever they do. They lend it that they need to go into buy a house or do something. So therefore, that's enough that it should not be considered as if the money is just disappeared, it's hers, because she could only use it for certain purposes. Tosfos Ri HaZaken says a very geshmak pshat. He says that the loan that we're speaking about here is a loan that he could recall any time. Since this is a loan that he could recall any time, that's why it's not considered as if she doesn't have the money. The simplest pshat is that, of course, if she doesn't actually have the money, so then we would not be able to use that money for Kedushin. The case over here is where, as we've been saying, she has the money. So the Gemara is saying that since she actually has the money, so it's not Lahitzah. Right now she has it, and therefore it can be used for Kedushin. V'tizbara, ask the Gemara, is that the way we could understand that machlokes? Amos Sefer, let's continue learning the Braisa. The Braisa says, v'shavim b'mecher, everybody agrees regarding a sale, that somebody could affect the sale, shezeh kono, you could affect the sale that with money that I lent you previously. That means I lent you money, and now you sell me something, and by me forgiving you what you owe me, it'll be a valid sale. Ask the Gemara, Vim Amrit Milvalay Tzadnetnu. But if we're learning now this principle of Milvalay Tzadnetnu, and she doesn't, and the person who I lent the money to doesn't, he didn't have the money anymore, so how could we suggest that it's a good Kedushin? Amrit Milvalay Tzadnetnu, the halacha is, B'mai Kani. With what would it be a valid Kinyan? So the Ramban says that, in explaining why you can't be Mekadosh the Milva. So the Ramban explains that the way to understand this Gemara is because a Milva, since she doesn't have it, is considered like a Dovah Shleiba Lailam. So as the Shalomeshev, the opinion of Rameya is that Adam Makna, that a person could do a transaction with a Dovah Shleiba Lailam. So even if we'll say Milva Leitzon Nitnu and it's Dovah Shleiba Lailam, why does that prevent the transaction from taking place. So the Shaila Meshiv says a beautiful teretz. It's a teretz that we really said previously. There's a very big difference when somebody gives money l'shem kedushin. When the money was given l'shem kedushin, even if there are problems, even if there's a concern like a davish la'ba'la'ilam, says Remeir, since it was given for that purpose, it's going to be a valid kedushin. But when the money, as in our Gemara, was not given l'shem kedushin, the money in our Gemara was given l'shem milva, and now it's not here, then everybody would agree you can't make a kedushin. You can't make a kedushin with a davish la'ba'la'ilam. Amram Nachman, Huna Chavrin, Huna. So we just explained that the Braisa taught us a machloikis. What is the halacha of a mekadesh b'milva and Gemara b'kadeshus and nam kadeshus? And the Braisa wanted to suggest that that machloikis is connected to the question of milva leitzad netna, milva lav leitzad netna. Says the Gemara of Nachman, Huna Chavrin mukla b'milva achri. Hulan explained the Braisa other way. He told her, I want to make a kedusha with a mana. The nimtza mana chasa dinar. He did. There was a mana has 100 coins in it, has 100 dinarim in it, and there were only 99. She wants 100, but she's embarrassed to ask for it, and that's why you wouldn't have a proper kedushin. She's ready to do the kedushin. Yes, he owns her. He owes her the balance, and therefore, since she's not embarrassed to ask for it, the kedushin will be a valid kedushin. Ask the Gemara. Ela hadam Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar teaches us in a case of iskachli b'mona, if somebody says, become kodeshes to me with a mana, v'nosla dinner, and he only gave her one dinner out of the 100 dinrim in a mana, the loch is a reza mekodeshes, she is mekodesh, v'yashlim, and he owes her other 99. But why should we not then suggest, ask the Gemara, that this is connected to this machlokes tanoim, is she embarrassed to ask for the balance or not? Amri says, Gemara, the two cases are not the same. Mana chasa dinner. When he says, I'm giving you a mana, and then she counts, she only finds 99. So then, there are people, or the Gemara is saying it's actually machlokes tanoim, ksifla milsa, she's embarrassed to ask for that one dinner that's missing. However, when he said, I'm giving you a mana, when he said, I'm giving you 100, and at the end, he only gave her one, a deposit, he owes a 99, there's no embarrassment to ask for the balance. And everybody will agree, therefore, everybody will agree that it's a valid kedushin. Here we're learning, the Gemara has been speaking about the Mekadosh B'milva. And could a kedushin be affected by somebody forgiving the money that's owed? So the question that I saw the Paiskim discuss, because we say Mivalai Tzad Netnum, and as we've been learning, he doesn't have anything actually with what the Kedushin is being made with. The question that I saw the Paiskim discuss is, what about Shalach Monas? If somebody owes somebody some money, and the way he wants to fulfill the mitzvah Shalach Monas is he goes to the person that owes him a chayiv, and he says, I forgive you what you owe me. Would that be considered a valid way of giving Shalach Monas? So the Paiskim suggest that question is really connected to another question, and that is, why did Chazal make the halacha? Why was the reason that there is a rule of giving Shalach Monas a Purim? And there are two different approaches in the Achronim to this very important question. Some suggest that the reason is that the Chazal wanted to make sure that everybody should have for the Sudas Purim. So the way you fulfill that is by sending Shalach Monas to people, and like that they have food for the Sudas Purim. The other reason is to increase Ahav of Achav of Shalom Vareis, to increase camaraderie amongst us. So if the reason is to increase the ahava of achva v'shalom v'reis, so then shalchmanis could be indeed accomplished with being meichel achayiv. If somebody owes somebody else money, and now you go and you'd say, well, I'll forgive you what you owe me, that is a wonderful way of creating harmony amongst people. But if the purpose, and that's why maybe b'mechilas chayiv, it would be an effective means of making, of giving shalachmanis. But if the shalachmanis is here, that the person to whom you're sending shalachmanis should have what to eat, you haven't accomplished anything when you give him, you haven't accomplished that when you just meichel the chayiv. Ask the Gemara. Rav said that I'm a kadosh b'milva enim kadoshes. Ask the Gemara. The Brisa says, "Hi, Melisha, skatchli b'kadam sheyeshli b'yodeich." A man left with a woman something, a b'kadam, and he says to the woman, "Bim kadoshes with that b'kadam," and says the Brisa. So this woman now thinks that this b'kadam that was left with her is now hers. Volcha, and she goes to look for it, and she discovers a mitzvah shenigna avad that it was stolen or lost. So halacha is in the shtayev shavapruta. Is the if there's a shavapruta of that pekodin still left, the halacha is mukadeshes. Memlav, if there isn't a shavapruta of that pekodin left, any mukadeshes. If somebody was mekadesh with a milva, the halacha is apishlein the shtayev men a shavapruta. Even if none of the money that he had lent her is still in her possession, mukadeshes. Rav Shimon, Allah Zayim, Shimon Rameya, Milva Arei B'Kadim. Milva, he treats a Milva and B'Kadim equivalently. Says the Gemara, Atkan Le'Pligi, the machlokes that we have in this Braisa is the mass of a Milva Afgav D'Loi Nishtai Himenu. The Tanakam is of the opinion that even if none of the Milva is left, it's still going to be Afgav D'Loi Nishtai Himenu Shav Pruta. If none of the Milva is left, we could still have a valid Kedushin. Only if there's a Shavapruta left will we have a valid Kedushin. But it seems that everybody, says the Gemara, everybody's in agreement that a Mekadosh B'Milva, there is no question that a Mekadosh B'Milva will be Mekadoshes. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, V'tizbara ha-metaretzta, do you really believe that this brisa is considered an authentic, authoritative brisa, that you should be able to ask a question from it? Says Rava, Hamashabeshtahi. This whole brisa is a corrupt brisa, and therefore I don't have to focus on it. But says Rava, what makes Rava, says the Gemara, what makes Rava believe that this brisa is inaccurate? Because says Rava, Haik Pigadim Hechidami. Either Kabbalah Echrayus, if the woman took upon herself responsibility that if something should happen to the Bekadon, she will be held responsible. So says the Gemara Haina Milva, that's the exact same case of Milva. So why would we differentiate between a Bekadon and a Milva? V'idaloi Kabbalah Echrayus, and if we're going to say, speaking about a case where she didn't take on that responsibility, so says the Gemara Yachatani Sefer. Why did the Braisa have to say in the Sefer? By a Milva, even according to Tanakama, there is no Shavapruta Mekadeshes. Niflug v'nisne b'deday, the Braisa should have continued speaking about a Pekodin and say, B'medva mamurim, when is there a question about the Pekodin being a good Kedush or not, if there's a Shavapruta or not? That's only in a case that she didn't take responsibilities for the Bekadon. Av Kibbalah Achrayis, if she took responsibility for the Bekadon, Av Agav Deloi Nishtayim and Ashev Pruta, the Loch should be Mekadeshes. Ela Tritzhoki. This is the way you have to explain the Braisa. Or the Milva, when we speak about the Milva, did our Loch is Apish Nishtayim and Ashev Pruta, even if there's a Shev Pruta left over, the Loch is any Mekadeshes. The Tanakama's opinion is that the woman is never mukadeshes with a milva, even if there is a shavapruta. And Shimon ben Elazar, I'm a milva reikodim. But we have here a question about Mekadosh B'milva. And it isn't so obvious that a Mekadosh B'milva is me Mekadoshes. Says the Gemara, Michael Mefki. So now the Gemara explains what is the Machlaikas. Amarava, Ashkechetinu, the Rabbanan Bei Rav, the Yasav Kamri. I met the Rabbanan sitting in Yeshiva and explaining. B'milva b'rshus ba'al mechazara v'odin l'ayntzu k'milvki. The Machlaikas here is that the person who borrowed the money still has the money. And the question is that could the malva at any point go back and tell the loiva that you have to return the money at this point? Or the question is, will the since the malva can make that request, therefore it's connected to what level of responsibility does the loiva have if something will happen to the money? The Masov, the Tanakam's opinion is malva brishus loiva kaim. The malva can't ask for his money back. And since he can't ask for his money back, the money is considered completely in the jurisdiction of the loiva. And therefore, the loiva will be responsible for anything were to happen to them. Umasov, Shimon Aloz's opinion is milva brishus bailim. The malva has the ultimate control. Why does the malva have the ultimate control? Because he could always ask back for his money. And therefore, since he could always ask back for his money, until the loiva actually starts using it, since the malva can always ask back for the money until the loiva starts using that money, the halacha will be that the loiva will not be responsible if anything happens to the money. And says Rava, Vaminalo, and I said to the Talmidim, La'ointzim, as far as being responsible, Kulam lo'plig de b'shus loiva kaimi. Everybody's in agreement that the loiva is responsible, whether he started using the money or why not? Whether he started using the money or not. Why? My tam lo'gar m'shayla. If somebody borrows something, a keli for someone else, m'shayla. By shayla, what I borrowed, I have to return. But even though what I borrowed, I have to return, the hadra b'ainah, so it's always going to be here. Because it's not that I spend it, I give it, I use it, and give that actual object item back. And still, the shoyl is chay b'ainsim. Milva, like hoshkein, where it's really meant to be spent, that the halacha will say that the loiv is automatically responsible. Al-hocha, the machloika says Rava, is limited to milva b'shus b'ailim. And the machloika's tanoim here is where the loiva has not yet begun, has not yet spent the money that was lent to him. And the question is, could the malva ask for the money back at that point, or can the malva not ask for the money back? If you'll say, and that's the opinion that the Tanakam holds, that you can't ask for money back, so that means it's her money, and it's milva loitzo nitnu, and you can't be mekadosh with it. Rashim Belaza, however, holds that until the money is actually spent, the halacha is that until the money is actually spent, you could ask for your money back. Since you could ask for your money back, that's why it's considered as if it's still in existence and it can be used for kedushin. Ask the Gemara, Al Hadam Rav Huna, Hashal Kadam Chaveroi, if somebody borrows an axe from somebody else, Ubika boy, and he used it to cut Kana. At that point, you can't go back. Loi Ubika boy, but if he didn't start using it, then the halacha is Loi Kana. It doesn't become his, and the person who lent it could ask for it back. Leim Katanoyam Rilishmatza. So according to this, we're saying that this halacha really should be connected to Machloikas Tanoim, that it follows the opinion of the Tanakama, that as soon as you lend it, you can't ask for it back. As following Rashi and Belazar, they could ask for it back. Loi. At Kalei Pligi, where do we have a Machloikas, if the Malva could ask back or not? El Elba Milva, only when it was a Milva, where you don't get back what you lent. Al B'Shaila. But by Shiloh, the Hadra, anyway, you get back what you lent. You lent the hammer, you're getting back that hammer. Devar Hakol, there everybody will be in agreement. Bikaba, only once the person who borrowed it used it, does it become his. Loi Bikabai Loi. So Ritva asks two questions. He says, why, if the shoyl did not use it yet, is it not his? If I lent somebody something, I lent it to him to be able to use it. And as soon as the person who borrowed it from me got it, he should be held responsible. And the other question is, so what kind of a kinyan is using it? We could understand that if the shoyl, if the person who borrows it takes it into his rishus, so then it becomes his. That's a kinyan meshicha. Where do we find that actually using it affects a kinyan? So he answers that meshicha is not an valid kinyan by borrowing. When you buy something and it's going to become yours, that's where meshicha is a valid kinyan. But when you're not buying it because you're only going to have a right to use it, then the halacha is that meshicha is not the kinyan. So therefore, Chazal said, at least according to this opinion, what makes the meshicha, what makes the kinyan, the actual using of that keli is what makes it into the kinyan. Says the Gemara, this subject that we've been discussing about a mekadesh memilva, is it mekadeshes or not, says the Gemara wants to explain, is actually machlokes tanoim, nemeka tanoim. If somebody says to a woman, hiskachli b'shtar choiv, I have a document that someone owes me money, and we should have a kedushin with that document. Oisha ha'yolay milva b'yad acherim, people owe me money, and I tell the woman, v'hirshalei, I give her a shtar shah, that she could collect that those obligations. Rebbe Yom Mekudeshes, V'chama Yom Mekudeshes. Says the Gemara, what exactly is the case where he said that somebody borrowed, I lent money to somebody and now he owes me money and I give that shtar to the woman? Says the Gemara, that's the same as the second case that the Braisa mentioned. So what's the difference between a skanchli b'shtar choiv or the case of shahayla milva v'yad acherim? Elav b'shtar choiv dida. It must be that the case is referring to a case where she owes him money, and he says, "I forgive you what you owe me." Isn't that? And we see. And what is the machlokes here? It seems that the machlokes here, a remei and the chachamim, is a mekadesh milva mekudeshes or not? Says Merloi. Both cases are speaking about shtar choiv d'acherim, where somebody owes me money, and I give that obligation to the woman. And hocham emilva shtar, emilva pekamilvki. But there are two ways that people could owe me money. They could owe me money because there's a document that they owe me money, or there's a case where they owe me money with a milva ba'peh. It isn't written. And the Brice is teaching us, in both cases, it will be the same machlokes. What will be the basis of the machlokes of milva shtar? So the Gemara plucked the Rebbe Rabbanan Kamilvki. It's actually machlokes Rebbe Rabbanan. The Tanya oisis niknas b'mesira. If somebody sells somebody else an IOU, does that require another shtar? Rebbe holds no. Just giving over the shtar is adequate. You have to write another star. So Mar Rameyahu holds that Mekudesh is a slay the Rebbe. Just giving the woman that document is enough to affect the star Kedushin. Umar the Chum holds less like the Rebbe. And therefore giving over to the woman that star will be inadequate. Everybody agrees that you have to write a shtar if you're giving over a shtar. The arguing over principle, the Rapapa taught us. If somebody sells an IOU, kenilach v'chul kabodei. He has to write over that all the obligations that the shtar bring, you now take over. Mar isle d'rapapa, and therefore the woman is not mekudeshes if he didn't write this, or that he's giving her all the obligation that come with the shtar. Omar less later rapapa, and the other one doesn't hold of rapapa, and therefore just selling the shtar is enough.